Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media Progress is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wiki Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another spectacular episode of The Cinephiles. I am Dan.
And I am Alex.
And you can join us in the studio. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735 or hit us up on our Facebook live feed. Check us out on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show or on Wikicuriosity Media. Hit us up on our website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. That link is on every Facebook page that Wicked Curiosity Media owns. You can check out all of our archived shows on blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosity. Or on iTunes at Wicked Curiosity Media. You can also check out our YouTube channel at Wicked Curiosity Media. All right. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on the air.
Yeah, it's been about, two weeks?
Yeah. Wicked Curiosity Media took vacation last week, other than the guy in glasses who broadcasted Friday night. And then the week prior, we were just getting things ready. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a couple weeks. A lot of things have happened over the past couple weeks that we are going to talk to. Most notably, DC Fandom that happened Saturday.
Last Saturday, yeah.
Yeah.
This past Saturday, it just happened.
Yeah, I was able to catch some of it, not all of it, but I got caught up on the important parts. Well, the important parts relevant to this show. So, and we are going to be talking about those here shortly, actually. But first, I want to bring up this whole idea of streaming versus theaters.
Okay.
So I'm a big movie fan, as we all know. I love going to the theater. Love going to the movie theater. Just recently watched Venom. In the theaters, went and saw it in RPX, which is absolutely phenomenal. Huge ass screen. I mean, it's one step below IMAX, and the sound was just phenomenal. It's 2D versus 3D. Thankfully, because I can't do 3D. It messes with my eyes. But it was absolutely phenomenal. There was like hardly anybody in the theater. So we got, you know, perfect seats. You know, we got that whole theater experience of going and, you know, getting our popcorn and stuff like that. But last week, last, was it Friday? Halloween Kills came out. And that was released to both theater and
Peacock.
To Peacock, the streaming service, NBC's streaming service. And I was going to go see it in the theater, but I wasn't feeling all that great. So I watched it at home. And then tomorrow night, early release of Dune, the remake of Dune.
Mm-hmm.
That's being released to theaters and to HBO Max. We've had a couple of them that we've had a couple movies over the past, over this past year that have done the same, both on the two biggest ones were HBO Max and Disney Plus. And I wanted to honestly get your perspective on the whole concept of releasing these movies to both streaming platforms and to theaters. Is it a good idea? Because there's I also saw Spiral on Amazon Prime. I was able to Amazon Prime Video. I was able to rent it early access. Is this a good idea for theater for studios to do?
I think this is a situation of, you know, there's a lot of pros to it and there's a lot of cons. It's like two sides to a coin. Yes, if you're an audience member, like if you're watching the movie, because if you don't really feel like going out and going to a theater and spending God knows how much on, you know, a movie, then just stay home and, you know, rent it on what streaming service you have, or if you want to, like, I don't know, at most $15 for that month, and you get that however much, and then you can cancel it. For us, yes, it's a good idea. For businesses, I don't think it's a good idea. I think some movies lost out on a big profit this year, box office-wise. And a lot of actors and crew members got screwed over big time this year because certain studios weren't upfront about how much money they were going to make off of the premium early access stuff. And some cast members felt that they got, you know, gypped, screwed over.
You're talking specifically about the Disney Plus and Scarlett Johansson lawsuit.
That and, like, even people that aren't speaking out about it because, you know, they're afraid to lose their job or whatever, they're getting affected by it too, because whoever – HBO does it for free. It's up for 30 days. You got 30 days to watch it. If you don't watch it, whatever, you just got to wait. For Disney Plus, you have to pay for it. You have to pay,
right.
Was it $30 for the access?
I think it's like 20 or 30, something like that. I don't remember how much I paid for Black Widow when it came out.
Imagine how many people don't want to go to the movies because of, you know, COVID or it being packed or sold out or, you know, whatever reason they have that they can't go. They're babysitting. They have a baby. They can't go to the theater, so they'll stay home. Whatever reason they have of not going to the theater, all those people bought that movie for $20, $30. They bought that movie. The crew and cast didn't get that profit. They never touched that profit. That's a massive profit. So I'm guessing a majority of people, if not a good portion of people, watched certain movies at home this year, whether it was Disney Plus, HBO, Peacock, whatever. But there's just a lot of money being made that's not given fairly to the right people. But, yeah. If they continue to do it, I won't complain about it. If I want to go watch a movie with, like, some friends or family or whatever, then, you know, just go out, have a family fun day. But, you know, if it's raining bad, people want to have a inside rainy day kind of movie, and they're like, well, there's a new movie out, and we have such and such streaming service. Boom. There you go. It's convenient for people, but not convenient for the people who made the movie.
Okay. Now, what about these? So there's a huge movie theater company, Regal, mm-hmm. that has a subscription type service where you pay so much a month and you can go watch the person that has the subscription can go watch unlimited movies throughout, you know, throughout the time that they have the subscription. Now does that, what are your thoughts on that? Cause that honestly, that really only benefits the moviegoer.
Yeah. I mean, if I think in this case, Regal would have to have some kind of deal with the movie providers with how they like tally up that box office thing. Cause if you have a subscription and you pay, I don't know how much the subscription is, but let's say it's $15 or $45.
So
however
the least expensive one is $20 a month.
Okay, so you pay $20 a month for unlimited movies. How? Because you're one person. It only applies to one person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So one person pays $20 for that month to go watch unlimited movies, and say they go watch every movie that came out that month. Profit miss out for movie companies. So depending on how they have the deal set up between Regal and like the movie producers, that is how it is. I mean that like you said, that really only benefits the moviegoer and the movie theater, not really the movie production.
Right. So the thing is so like Regal and it's not Act 3 anymore.
AMC.
Yeah. Sorry. So Regal and AMC, they're the two biggest ones in the United States. I would venture to say in North America. So what they do is they pay these studios a certain amount of money to have
they pay a certain, not to cut you off or anything,
they're fine,
but yeah, like you said, they pay a certain thing, and however they make money off that movie, whether it's a good business deal or a bad business deal, it's a business deal. So like if you had something and I'm like, hey, I will give you that, let me borrow that for $10. And then I go turn around and say, hey, I got this thing. You guys can pay me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm making all this money that you don't know about, but it doesn't matter to you. You can't do nothing about it because we had our original deal. However, I make my business move is how I make a business move.
Right. So basically the way – if I'm understanding it correctly, and I'd have to do some more research on it, the way that I'm understanding it is that – The movie companies, Regal and AMC, they pay the studios, not the producers or anything like that. They pay the actual studios, like they pay Warner Brothers, a certain like flat fee. Let's say it's $1 million to put their movie into their theaters. And then there's a certain percentage of each ticket sale that actually goes back to the producers themselves. Let's take Shang-Chi, for instance. So Regal goes to Marvel and says, hey, we'll pay you $1 million to, you know, put the movie in our theaters, and then like 2% of every ticket sale that, you know, for every ticket that we sell. And then, and then the rest of that profit from that ticket, the rest of the 98% goes straight to Regal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a larger percentage than that because they got to make their money.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think movie companies just kind of found a loophole in the system, because if they've had this deal or this contract for say 10 years. They say, hey, over 10 years period, we play these movies, we pay you this amount. You get this amount for ticket sales. They never said anything about a monthly subscription sale.
Right.
So if we go and get a monthly subscription sale, that all that money's going to Regal. They don't have to cut that out and give it to this company or that movie studio. So I think this is that's actually pretty smart of them, because they're making money. It's cheaper for the, you know, moviegoer, and there's nothing that the big studios can do unless they draw up a new contract.
Right. So what I look at is I look at the percentage of people that actually use the service on a regular basis versus those that, while they have the subscription, they don't use it, but maybe once every other month or once every few months. Because if you have the service, it's great if you use it for two movies a month. Because
I think that would just be more of a customer using his time and money, or using their money and time wisely. I don't think that really affects the movie company. They just want your $20, and they don't care if you go to the movie or not. But if you buy a ticket, that's when they really care. They're like, well, come buy a ticket. But if you buy a monthly subscription, unless you cancel it, there's nothing that you can do about it, and you still have to pay that month.
Right.
So,
well, usually it's one subscription per household. Like for our household, so I've got the service.
Yeah.
I pay $20 a month for Regal to watch, you know, whatever amount of movies that I want. Typically, people don't go to the movies by themselves. So they're going to buy another ticket. Like, so I had, I had 4 days off last week, and I had planned on going to the movies. You know, I'd planned on going to see a couple movies at the theater, but, you know, by the time I got everything done in the house and everything that I wanted to get done, I was tired. You know, didn't feel like, you know, putting regular human clothes on and going to the theater. But the other side to that is that, you know, typically I'm going to go to the theater with Miss Angel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I still have to pay her ticket, and I have to pay a service fee, which is stupid. It's like $2 service fee.
Yeah, that's just to pay workers, because I'm sure that subscription doesn't go into their paycheck.
Right. And then, you know, I get huge discounts on popcorn and stuff like that. But the idea of the subscription service is actually really brilliant for Regal. Because, like you said, they, you know, there's not a lot of people that are going to use that every week, or, you know, even every month. But to get the actual total benefit of it, because tickets are anywhere between $12 and $14 a piece.
Really?
Yeah.
Down there?
Uh-huh.
Damn, I still pass as a student and get in for $7.50.
Damn.
At the movie theater we go to. That's awesome.
Well, I
think it might be $5 per student. I'm not sure.
I can.
I still pass as, you know, not an adult. So.
Right. I mean, I could, if I paid for it there, I could get a military discount, which, you know, would be 10% off. Excuse me. Or it would be the matinee price. But in order for me to reap the benefit, I would have to go twice a month in order for it to, you know, equal. Even if I go once a month, I get huge discounts on concessions and food and stuff like that. So I guess it kind of evens itself out a little bit. So
either way,
plus you get rewards and stuff like that for merchandise and free drinks and upgraded drinks and popcorn and food and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to it, specifically for the the moviegoer, which is good because it brings people back into the theater.
Yeah, during the whole, you know, stay-at-home thing, can't go nowhere, movies, at least I thought the movie theaters were going to suffer. I thought movie theaters were going to go, like, to the can. But no, as soon as New Year's hit 2021, and people were like, okay, well, we're not following mandates no more, everybody started opening back up, and here I thought our poor movie theaters weren't going to survive because they were going to have to shut them down again.
Yeah.
No, no way. They made a lot of money this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
of course, better than, you know, 2020's year because they made basically zero. But compared the movie numbers compared to 2021, compared to 2019, if you take out Avengers Endgame, it's drastic. Like,
yeah,
I would venture to say that they made more money this year than they have in the past few years.
Really?
People were just they were just ready to go and do something. What are we going to do? I don't know. Half the theme parks and stuff are closed down or, you know, limited numbers. Hey, you know what? There's 400,000 movies that are releasing this year that got pushed off. Let's go watch every single movie. I watched more movies this year than I have in the past 2 or 3 years.
I can see that. So we just recently started going back to the theater this year simply because of not cost, but because she's a little more paranoid about – and paranoid is not even the word – a little more cautious about COVID-19 than I am. But, you know, I mean, of course, we were locked down last year. And then this year, and I just recently started going back. And I'm trying to think of how of where my thought was going with this, because I completely lost my train of thought.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it's surprising because when I was looking at, like seats, because we have, essentially assigned seats.
Yeah.
That we can pick for, you know, the movies and stuff like that. Makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
So like I said, Venom 2 was empty. The RPX was empty.
Total exact opposite for our theater. We were going to go to an original time. So, well, it didn't sell out, but, you know, you pick your seats. We were going to be sitting separately, and we're like, no, that's just weird. So we bought tickets to come back at another time, and this time didn't have assigned seats. You just walk in and sit down. We thought it was a little bit weird. But whatever. And we come when we walk in, and we got there relatively early, and we got, I mean, I don't care where I sit in a movie theater. I'm not too particular about that, but our seats were terrible. They weren't front row terrible, but they were just, you couldn't find nowhere. It was packed to the brim of people, and it was an amazing experience. There was children there laughing at the jokes. There was, you know, adults there having fun. It was an amazing experience to sit there in a packed theater and watch a movie again without people up your ass about, well, you can't be laughing and talking because that's breathing and you can't do that no more. And, you know,
yeah,
it was just a fun experience to have everybody in the theater laughing at a movie and having fun.
And I will say, because I love the whole theater experience. I love
that whole experience of walking in, sitting down. That whole thing was exactly how I felt with Venom 2. I had an amazing movie experience with Venom 2, besides the seats, but that was kind of our fault.
Yeah.
We probably should have got there an hour earlier, but whatever. People are weird.
Well, so the movie theater that we have, and we're definitely going to have to go. The movie theater, so there's two Regal cinema. There's a couple Regal cinemas near me. But the two biggest ones is there's a what's called the Cinnabar, which is where you go and you sit and you order food and you can, you know, have your whole dinner there while you're eating. It's it's a good experience, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to eat my dinner while I'm watching. If I'm going to eat dinner and watch a movie, I'm going to do it at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you know, but I really don't like eating while watching a movie. Like when me and the producer went and saw a movie, I got nothing. I think I got a water. I just don't do the whole concessions thing at a movie theater. I go there, I sit down, I enjoy the movie. And it doesn't affect my experience at all. I just go there, get what I want, and I leave.
Now, see, I have to get popcorn. I have to get popcorn and a drink. Just because that's, for me, that's part of the whole movie experience.
Yeah, well, I can't really do the whole popcorn thing just yet.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I'm very simple when it comes to my movie experience, and I enjoy it just the same as everybody else.
Well, yeah, obviously. But yeah. The other one that we go to, and this is the one that we'll go to when you come down. So
I think
you walk in.
I know the one you're talking about. It's the I don't know the name of it, but
the Pinnacle.
Yeah, me and the producer have been there a couple times.
Okay, you walk in and it's got the gaming up on the second level, and there's a slide that you can slide down. Yeah.
Me and him went and saw Dark Phoenix, Black Widow, and the new Purge movie. And all three experiences were great. Dark Phoenix was empty. There was nobody in the theater. It was just us three.
Yeah.
And, you know, Black Widow and the Purge movie, it was pretty decent. Like, it wasn't too many people that I can recall. But great experience. I like that theater. We don't have a huge theater like that where I live. Like, ours, we have, like, four theaters near me, and they're all really tiny.
So...
And there's definitely
say,
a good theater.
Yeah.
Trust me. There's you know how there's like, you have like two places in a town. You're like, no, don't go to that one. That's the good one. We definitely have a good theater up here. We have two of them. And then the other ones you go to if you're desperate to watch the movie.
I've been to bad movie theaters. I've been to good movie theaters. Sometimes the best movie theaters are the ones that you don't realize are good.
The good movie theater is right behind the airport. And it's an amazing movie theater. I love it. It's got smaller theaters, but it's not like you're a sardine can. And they have great seats, great staff. It's the good movie theater in town. That's where everybody goes. And then there's another one that's actually closer to my house, but it's got massive theaters. Like, they are huge. Like, too huge. Too big. And the seating is, like, auditorium seating. It's not, like, angled like a movie theater is. It's all, like, at the slightest incline. So you're basically watching the back of the person's head. I hate going to that one. Okay. And then we have one in the mall, which is, like, the big, fancy, expensive one.
Yeah.
That's probably, like, more like the Pinnacle one because you can order food and whatnot there. But it doesn't have
all
the
probably more
fancy things.
So our fancy one is actually in our mall, the Cinnabar. It's got an actual bar in front. It's got an actual, like, whole arcade.
That's where I saw Halloween at. Not the movie theater you're thinking of, but the one in our mall is where I saw the Halloween movie. But, yeah, I like going to the one right beside the airport.
The thing is when you go to the movies, you have to experience at least once the crappy fold down seats that don't stay folded down.
You remember Tiger Valley Cinema? Fairmont? Right there beside Walmart.
Yeah.
I swear to God, it's got those fold down seats. It's got one ticket counter, and when it gets packed, it gets packed. But I tell you what, that's one of me and my buddy's favorite movie theater to go to when I'm down there. That's the only one
because everybody's spilling soda everywhere.
Yeah, that's the only one we go to. I've seen countless movies in that movie theater, and every time it's been a good experience. But it's got the it's got the fold down chairs. It's got the dirty floors and
the fold down chairs where
theater. You know, if you're not 100 pounds, it won't keep down. Like you said, you set a toddler there and it pulls them in half. Yeah, that's the, the theater experience everybody needs to have.
I've struggled with that. It's at that exact movie theater. Because when we lived there when we were younger, we, oh, let's go watch a movie. It'd be great. It's not great for Alex. He's folded up like a like a damn binder.
I think
still have
one...
that problem with those stupid folded seats. I sit down, and I really got to sit on the edge for it to really stay down. Like, I can sit back, and it folds up. Like, if I sit back far enough, I'm Venus flytrap.
And you have no leg room, absolutely no leg room. Your legs are crap during the entire movie. And heaven forbid you have to pee and the movie theater is packed because everybody's either standing up or they're lifting their legs and you're saying, excuse me, 100 times. And people are like pissed because you're walking in front of them. Everybody's yelling down in front. But that's the movie theater experience that everybody should have at least once.
Yeah, I tell you what, when I saw American Sniper at that same movie theater, oh, man, I had to use the bathroom, and it was at a very intense scene. I was like, I don't know if I should wait till this is over, but I really got to go. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to go. This is going to drag on forever. So I had to rush to the bathroom so I didn't miss anything. And I was like, excuse me. I was like hauling ass through the movie theater aisle. And when I got back, I got the meanest looks. I was like, what? What did I do? I was polite about it, at least.
But yeah, that
sure enough,
movie
when I got
theater.
Back, that scene was still going. I was like, oh, Jesus. This is going forever.
But that's the theater experience that everybody should have. And that's, you know, I don't get
just
me wrong. I love the
updated have that
theater.
Be your preferred. Don't have that be your preferred movie theater experience, please.
No. Go and watch it at least once. Go watch a crappy movie.
Yeah.
In those theaters. Because you don't want to spend the money to watch a good movie in those theaters because your whole experience will be ruined. Go watch a crappy movie in a crappy theater and you will have, I guarantee it, you will have the best time of your life if you don't get angry.
Yeah. You got to be calm about it. You can't be bitching and complaining the whole time. Oh, this movie theater sucks. Well, it should have sucked. It's got 2.5 stars on Yelp. It's going to
right?
suck.
Right? That's being generous.
Sit down and watch the movie. It's only got 2.5 stars because there's only 4 reviews.
Right? And the highest review was a 2.
Yeah.
Or go to a big city, go downtown, and go to those theaters that were converted from a stage theater into a movie theater to the projector, you know, the projector screen comes down and you feel like you're going to be watching a PowerPoint presentation before
the
movie.
I went on a school field trip and we watched The Lorax and one of those. I tell you what, that might have been one of my best movie experiences. Except for the fact that we had teachers around us constantly telling us to shut up because we were laughing at a funny movie. Said, guys, be quiet. Watch a movie. No shit, it's a funny movie.
But, you're supposed to laugh at a funny movie.
Yeah. But, no, I think that you got to do that at least once, and then you can go do, you know, private movie theaters or whatever you want.
Yeah,
it don't matter.
Yeah.
The
modern movie theaters.
You got to experience the bad theaters first.
Or at least one time. It's okay to experience the really, really good theaters. That's fine. But then go to a theater where the tickets are literally $5 a person. Children 12 and under get in free.
Yeah.
The popcorn bags are so thin.
Better check those Google reviews because just above 1.5 star, you're not doing it right.
Right. The popcorn bag is so thin that the butter is literally dripping out and you're dripping butter on your pants.
Yeah.
That's
the best first date ever. If you guys can survive that first date, you guys might as well get married.
The drink cup is so thin that it sweats and you go to pick it up and your hand slips and you pop the lid off and you drop the cup, which creates the sticky floors.
Yeah. You definitely got to do that at least once. And if you don't spill the drink on you, then you failed.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have, you know, butter stains on your pants because you're holding the popcorn bag. And greasy fingers because the napkins are so thin that you look at them and they rip. So you have them to wipe your hands on your pants.
They're half-ply napkins. You got to fold it 700 million times just to clean something up.
Just to wipe the tip of your finger off. And you were the dumbass that decided to wear slacks on your date.
Yeah.
Hand slacks, no less. So now you got greasy fingers from the popcorn because you had to get the extra butter.
And if you think it's a good idea to get candy, boy, are you right. Make sure you bang it on the back of the theater seat. You really got to get those off the bottom of the box. You really got to crinkle that bag a little bit.
You got to get the raisinettes. You got to get the raisinettes that have been melting under the light.
Ew, why those? You're really trying to make this bad.
Those are the worst candy.
Oh,
and then
man.
You got to offer
or
your
the
date
Junior
some.
Mint. You want some Junior Mints?
You got to offer your date. Would you like some Raisinets?
They're terrible, I promise.
I'm sorry, did you only get two? Let me bang this. Pow, 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 pow.
Hold up, fold the thing back in. Start shaking the shit out of it. Boom, 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 boom. It sounds like you're in a damn mariachi band. With maracas. You're in a movie theater, and the person in front of you goes, is that a mariachi band? I didn't know that was in this movie.
What the hell's a mariachi band doing in Venom?
What the hell? Tom Hardy? What's going on?
Banging it so loud that the characters on screen turn and look at you.
Oh, man.
And then, halfway through the movie, after you guys have eaten all your greasy popcorn, all your melted raisinettes, and you're washing your hands from the condensation on your cup, just trying to get some of that sticky and greasiness off,
go take a bathroom break. Go take a bathroom break and, you know, use the bathroom in the dirty bathrooms. And there's probably pee on the floor. Don't worry about that. You're going to wash your hands. When you go to wash your hands, you turn on the sink that has no water pressure, and it just drips out with the attempted automatic soap dispenser, but you got to hit it a few times. And then
– no towels. And the blow dryer.
You have to push the button for the blow dryer. It's one of the ones where you have to push the button, and it goes, it's not even warm air either, it's just cold. So you walk out, your hands are wet, got stains on your slacks, it's the best first date of your life.
And then
you walk out, you step in more Raisinets.
And then you go to sit down, and you do the cool move, stretch, put your arm around the girl.
And you accidentally touch the person who's next to her.
Right? You accidentally put your hand on some, you know, 6'4", 280-pound greasy guy.
Oh, this is a great movie, isn't it? What the hell? Why are you so wet for?
Why are you all sweaty?
The worst part is you just washed your hands with the shitty soap and the no water pressure, so you don't know if it's you or it's him.
But you've already started to make the move, so you can't pull your arm back. So
what you do is you bring it back, you do the worm, or you do the wave. You're just like, oh, yeah, you see this move? They do it in this movie, I hear. Yeah, they do it in this movie a few times. It's a cool move. It's a new TikTok dance.
And then you go to try and kiss the girl, and she pushes your face away.
Yep, and then you got to do it all over again.
Yeah. If you don't do that at least once in your life, you're not living.
No, that's not the movie theater experience. But now you can go after you've done that, you're initiated. You can go to whatever movie theater you want. You can go to the big fancy one. You can continue going to that favorite, you know, behind the Walmart movie theater. whatever you want to do, you got to go to the bad one first.
Where they've got the triple-walled popcorn bag
They misspelled the movie title because they're not digital. They have to...
Because they still have the board, the little pegboard thing where you slide the letters in.
And they spelled the movie wrong.
They had to use a zero instead of an O for Venom, and a backwards three because they don't have an E.
an upside down N because they don't have a V. You guys want to go watch Num-a-num-a-num? They have to use an upside down W for the M.
And so it's on a reel to reel. It's not digital. On a reel to reel, and halfway, you know, when it comes time to change projectors, the projectionist happened to have had to take a shit right then. Leaves the projection room in the room, and it cuts off halfway through the movie, and you're waiting there for 2 minutes for them to bring it up. And when he brings it up, it's completely out of focus for like 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes of that reel. And the sound is not in sync.
Now premiering Lemon. two tickets for Venom. What movie? We're not premiering Venom. Oh, you guys don't have Venom here? No, we're premiering Lemon. What do you mean Lemon? We ran out of letters, so we decided to rhyme it on the ticket. It's not even like a normal movie theater ticket. It's one of those raffle tickets. They write
it
on a notepad
and give it to you.
Yeah, here, just check in later.
They write it on those little spiral little notepads. They rip it off and hand it to you.
they write your seat in your, like, row number. And when you go in, somebody's in your seat. You don't want to control them about it, so you go behind them.
You and your date are on opposite sides of the theater.
No, they definitely – they didn't miswrite this. That's how it is.
You're yelling across the theater. Across the aisle, would you like some Raisinets? Chicka, 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 chicka.
Tomahawk throw them through.
If you catch them hard enough, they'll break.
You throw them and it hits the grandma and the little kid. You throw them and it hits them in the back. Hits them in the back of the head and loses them up.
Raisinets go spilling all over the place.
Oh, man. That's a movie theater experience right there.
That's definitely a movie theater experience.
You know, I do have one complaint about the movie theater we go to. We have reclining seats, and they're electronic. So they got, like, two arrows, and, you know, you push the arrow to make it go out, and it folds back.
Yeah.
Problem is, they're leather seats. Whenever you press it, you hear the and then at a certain point the leather starts squeaking together, and you hear a and it's just a squeak, and it's like really awkward because it's a quiet moment and you gotta use the bathroom, and then all you hear is and leather squeaking together.
So they have those types of seats at the one at the mall here, and
it's just really awkward because you just that weird leather sound rubbing together.
So ours, I think, no, ours might be leather. So I did that for the movie that Miss Angel and I went to go see. And like 30 minutes into the movie, you know, my old man syndrome kicks in and my body realizes that it's in a reclining chair. And anytime my body realizes that it's in a reclining chair, it thinks, oh, nap time. So I had to fight to stay awake long enough to be able to put it down and get comfortably uncomfortable so that I could watch the movie.
Yeah. Oh, first world problems. You're too comfortable in a movie theater. Maybe the fold-down seats was a good idea. It keeps people engaged because they got to refold their seats every 20 minutes.
You just lift yourself up, tuck your knees in, the seat folds up. We just do that for the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
It hits right on that nerve on the back of your leg to make your legs go numb. So when you go to stand up, your legs don't work at all. You see a whole bunch of people just stumbling like baby giraffes.
It's not at a good angle either. So you're like in between a 90-degree angle and a 45-degree angle. You're not quite comfortable, but you're not quite uncomfortable. It's just weird.
It's right at that 86, 85-degree angle. So it's not
through your
pressure.
Rearranging. Your legs are asleep. You can't walk. You're basically a paraplegic at this point. You're living at the movie theater. That's how they trap you. That's the subscription service. You pay $20 a month for rent because you can't leave the movie theater.
And the wheelchair access. The wheelchair portion of the movie, of the theater. The wheelchair seats.
Yeah.
Literally just the front row.
It's just the front row that separates. With two seats plucked out. There's like one row out of the front three rows with two seats plucked out for handicap accessible people. I don't think they realize how many actually handicap accessible people there are out there. But it's not six seats. You know. They got a row of however many. And they pluck two out here and pluck two out here. There's just a weird gap. And then half the time, handicapped people don't sit in those seats because they just sit in the aisle seats because it's much easier to get to.
Yeah.
Man, I really got to go to Target Rally Cinema now.
I got to find a cheap theater here somewhere. It's just a really cheap, crappy $2, $3 a ticket theater. And go see an old movie.
Because they don't play the new one. They're not allowed to.
They don't have the money. They play the movies that are part of public domain now. They can't afford them
off of a sketchy website. Halfway through the movie, you get an ad.
Or it's a projection of a movie that was pirated, and you can see the people in the row while you are in the movie theater. It's a pirated movie.
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now. Worst rated movie theaters in my area.
Oh, all right. While you're doing that, we're going to take a break. We're, you know, long overdue for a break. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Behind the screen. We'll be right back.
Two minute plans and schemes. 2 minute
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
All right, welcome back. If you are just joining us, you missed a whole 45, 50 minutes of us talking about movie theater experiences. But that's okay, because who cares? It's our show. We'll do what we want. All right. So tonight we are talking about a little bit about DC Fandom, which was a live streamed DC event talking about new upcoming movies, shows, animated properties, comic books, video games, basically every property that DC has was talked about on Fandom. I think it was like a 3.5 hour long live stream they did.
It was long.
I watched bits and pieces of it. I watched parts of it. I'm not really big into the video games. I'm not big into the huge multiple parts of the fandom. I'm really big into the movie
stuff and the fandom that I was just like, eh, whatever. I had stuff to do that day anyway, so I didn't really care. People are just going to upload the trailer separately and right after the release, so
yeah,
it's whatever.
And there were two big trailers released. Two first looks.
Oh, okay.
Two first looks. A TV teaser trailer, a TV show teaser trailer, and then announcements of new seasons added to different shows. So the first one that we're going to talk about, and this is one that you brought up on break, is Young Justice. So Young Justice is a DC animated TV show, started out on Netflix, if I remember correctly.
Cartoon Network. Star Wars The Clone Wars, for those who have watched that. It aired with that sort of crowd. Or not crowd, but demographic.
Okay. And then Netflix picked it up for a season 2, I believe. And then DC picked it up for seasons 3 and 4. So I think Netflix had it for a little bit before HBO Max.
Netflix aired it, but I don't think they produced any of the episodes or nothing, like HBO is. I just think they had it on there.
Okay.
And then HBO picked it up for season 3, and now season 4, which was a shocker, because I haven't seen any trailer, any announcement. All I have seen about Young Justice season 4 was a poster, and I was kind of on the fence. Is that a fan-made poster? Is that official poster?
You're talking about the Phantoms poster?
Yeah, there's an official poster, and then there's the poster that they have on HBO to like show the what's going on in the first 3 episodes kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I saw the poster, not the one that's on HBO, but a different poster. And I was like, it'll be a little bit before Young Justice. They do anything Young Justice. And I didn't think that was on their priority list. No,
right.
I was extremely wrong. They released it the same day as DC Fandom.
Yeah.
The first 3 episodes of season 4.
Yeah. Cause I watched all 3 episodes. Or 2 episodes.
2. Yeah.
Both episodes.
You texted me. You're like, did you watch Young Justice yet? I was like, what? What are you talking about? It's not on there. And I looked at it. I was like, well, no, I have not watched season 4 of Young Justice. I'll get right on that.
So you mentioned that you have a different opinion of Young Justice now that you've gone back and re-binged seasons 1 and 2. And you're partway through season 3?
Yeah, I'm like 6 or 7 episodes in season 3.
Okay.
I've always liked Young Justice. It was always like a fun show to me, but I never really, like, I binged it back in like middle school, early high school. And I haven't touched it since. I barely watched season 3 stuff. And I went back and actually rewatched it as like an adult, quote-unquote.
Older.
Yeah. It might just be one of my favorite shows of all time. One of them.
Okay.
It's guaranteed top five of my favorite shows. People might disagree with me, call me crazy, but I put it on the same level as Star Wars The Clone Wars. It doesn't have quite the hype and, you know, excitement behind it, but for me, it's on the same level as Clone Wars. And Clone Wars is one of my favorite cartoons. Young Justice is now, it was always like top 10 for me. I liked it, but I wasn't like, oh, that's crazy. Like, that's the best show of all time.
Right.
It's really struck a nerve with me recently, and I really like it.
So I will say that along with, or in the same, like the same style of Clone Wars, because the first three seasons of Clone Wars, it was geared more towards a younger demographic. And when they realized that, you know, older teenagers, young adults, and even older adults, you know, like the older generation was watching it and binging it and you know, really getting into it, they started making it a little more mature. And when I say more mature, I'm not talking about, like, a lot more violence and stuff like that. Just the way the characters interacted with each other.
Yeah, it wasn't campy and cartoony. It was...
Yeah.
More realistic to how people would interact with each other. Closer to the Star Wars movies.
Yeah. And that's kind of what Young Justice has done. In the first couple of seasons, Young Justice was geared more towards a younger demographic to get them introduced to the characters.
It related with younger children. I wouldn't say younger as in, like, elementary school, but, like, fourth grade to eighth grade, it really connected to those group of kids. And then, you know...
Hey, real quick. I just want to say we've had two brownouts within the past 30 seconds. If we get cut off on air, I apologize. I don't know what's going on. That's odd for us to have that. But our lights flickered a couple times within the last 30 seconds. So if we get cut off, I do apologize. It's not us cutting ourselves off. It's literally power going out. I don't know, for whatever reason. But I just wanted to make that public service announcement real quick. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. But yeah, Young Justice really grew up with its audience because season one, it was Kid Flash, Aqualad, Robin. They were all under the age of like 17.
Yeah.
And then season two rolls around. Wally West is retired. Robin is now Nightwing. And Aqualad is a quote-unquote traitor. But they're all grown up. And then by the time season two comes out, those kids, they've kind of grown up with it, but it still connects to younger generations, but also it's more high school kid now. Season three, it has the same exact feeling as season two, but they're not afraid of blood and gore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those shows that that really impressed me. Again, you know, the only one to compare it to is Clone Wars, because it grew up with its audience. It didn't stay geared towards one demographic. It is a storytelling element that continues its storyline throughout the entire, not just the entire season, but the entire series itself. And it grows and matures with its audience and allows the audience to become involved with these characters.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons, because when I first watched it, I was like, okay, this is... it's a DC cartoon. It's something different. It's not the typical Batman and Justice League and stuff like that, because the Justice League cartoon, the Justice League Unlimited cartoon, the Batman the Animated Series cartoons, those were pretty much all one-offs. You know, every week they had something different. I mean, they kind of built on each other a little bit, but at the same time, they were, you know, shows that were completed in a half hour. You know, there were 20-minute long episodes. Whereas Young Justice is one of those that continues a storyline throughout the entire season. And season two, I would say season two was the biggest cliffhanger that they left on. You know, from
season one or season two?
Season two, when the Justice League was kidnapped.
That was season one, end of season one.
I thought that was end of season two.
Because no, end of season one was the Justice League, what's his name? Roy Harper. The clone of Roy Harper was inducted into the Justice League, and he was a mole. They were trying to find a mole within the Young Justice team, but they couldn't find one, so everybody was cleared. But Roy was the clone, and they had the bio chips that took over their mind. And so when Roy was inducted into the Justice League, he went around to everybody, affecting everybody with the biochip, and Vandal Savage came in and boom-tubed the Justice League across the galaxy, wreaked havoc for 16 hours. And then when they came back, the Justice League were wanted all across the galaxy, and they didn't know why. And they spent 5 years trying to investigate that, and that was what happened between season one and two. Because season one dropped off, Batman, I think the last word Batman said was, what happened in those 16 hours? And then, boom, season one ends. Season two picks up with Batman saying the same thing, except now it's 5 years later, and the team are going to figure it out. And then the Justice League has to go away for their trial. You know, that's why the Justice League's away. Invasion happens, blah, 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 blah. You know, season two. Season two ended with Wally West dying.
That's right. That's right.
With Kid Flash and Pulse and Flash did the cyclone thing. And Wally wasn't fast enough and he died. Which is very, like, sad. Like, that really hit me. I was like, oh, man, I've seen this countless times, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And that's, and that's what I'm... that's one of the main things that I'm talking about with, you know, it evolving and growing and becoming more mature, is the fact that you have these characters that, you know, actually die in the episodes, and, you know, they...
It's grounded.
Real world...
Like there's...
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's not like Family Guy where it resets the next week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens in this episode, it affects the rest of the whole story.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, that I'm really impressed with DC's animated line. That they, and even their live action TV shows, they are able to kind of bring you in, and
it's real. It feels real. It's not all sunshines and rainbows and perfect.
Not everything is solved within a half hour or an hour. And then, you know, the next week everything's reset and everybody's, you know, happy and, you know, everybody's fine and stuff like that.
That's what season finales are for. Come on, guys.
Right? They're animated shows. They're not cartoons. There's a big difference.
Yeah. But,
animated serials.
That was my take on Young Justice. It was not a hot take like I normally have. But yeah. That's the DC fandom.
And I would say that Season 4? So Young Justice has this habit of the first couple episodes, they build a story. So they're kind of slower.
Yeah, but it's just to establish what's going on. Like, you can't just immediately hop into, like, action and, oh, my God, the world's ending. Universe needs saved. You got to kind of mosey it in. You got to feel those characters. And once the world-ending stuff does happen, you're like, well, shit. Everything was all fine 2 episodes ago.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah.
But
I'm definitely going to have to binge season 3. I'll probably binge the whole season, the whole series after season 4.
Yeah.
Kind of like what I'm going to do with the Titans. It's just rewatch the entire series over again.
Yeah, there's a couple of shows I want to rewatch and really binge them, because there's a lot of good ones that I want to do.
Yeah. Speaking of Titans, isn't tomorrow the last episode of this season, the season finale?
But you got to remind me. Why has it got to end? But the good news is we're getting a season 4.
Yes, yes. They announced at DC Fandom that it has been picked up for a 4th season.
Did you watch the announcement for it? The guy who plays Nightwing, I can't pronounce his last name, but it's Brenton Thwaites, I think is what it is. I can't pronounce his last name, but it's the guy who plays Nightwing, or Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
And he was in the car with, I believe his daughter, and he was like, aren't you going to tell him the good news? And she goes, Titan Season 3. And she's like a real young child. She's like 2, maybe.
Yeah.
She's like, Titan Season 3. And he goes, Season 3? No, 4. Season 4. I was like, what, season 4? I was like, well, okay, that's cool. Season 3 is almost over. Is that what she's announcing? And then he was like, no. Season 4 of Titans. We're back. Season 4. And I was like, oh, season 4? Come on, don't tease me like that. And then the rest of the cast happy about it.
It'll be another year before we get a season 4.
Yeah, but I have peace of mind knowing that we're getting a season 4. Because I know a lot of people bitch about the show. Oh, it's this, oh, it's that, this, and that. Whatever. I like it. You can't.
They're fair weather fans.
I will die on the hill that DC Titans is one of the best superhero shows, regardless of what people say. Well, technically the writers are bad. Technically this is terrible. Technically, shove it up your ass. I don't care. It's one of the best ones out there.
I would have to agree with you on that.
With what they have, obviously the Disney Plus Marvel shows are another level. I kind of don't acknowledge those in the same category as a TV show. They're more of extended movies over a period of time. But
so, biggest difference
excluding the Marvel shows, I think DC Titans is one of the best superhero shows, in my opinion.
I would venture to say, and I'm going to get crucified in this house, I would venture to say that Titans is better than any TV show that Marvel has put out. And I'm not
even
saying
better
that. Go ahead.
Now, we have opinions.
Okay.
And then we have opinions that can get us in trouble.
Uh-huh.
I fully acknowledge that Titans has its issues. I get that.
Yes.
Saying it's better than – are you saying better than Loki, WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier type Marvel shows, or are you talking Netflix Marvel shows?
No, I'm talking better than Loki, WandaVision, and Falcon Winter Soldier.
I mean, I'm full on. I will die on the hill with you. I will fully have your back on that. But you're going to get crucified for more than just the people in the household.
I am. But let me explain myself.
We gotta have that as a soundbite. That's got to be a thing. Him saying DC Titans is better than any show out there. Okay. I'll take that. That's a win for me. Win for the win for the DC squad. Let's go.
Let me explain myself. So, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Loki. They're not bad shows. They are fantastic shows. They are linked directly into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I love that about them because they are the bridge between Phase 3 and Phase 4. WandaVision is technically at the end of Phase 3, and I think Loki is the beginning of Phase 4, something like that. But I see them as a bridge between seasons, you know, between Phases 3 and Phases 4 when it comes to the full-length live-action movies. They are fantastically done. The writing is spectacular. The special effects are phenomenal. The way that they set up the shows are the interaction between the characters and just the entirety of the establishment with the MCU is fantastic. Marvel has that down pat. Same thing with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's all directly connected within the MCU. Now, the reason why I say that Titans is better than those shows is, number one, it is a standalone property. It does not tie into any DC property whatsoever. It's its own standalone property, so it doesn't have rules that it has to go by. Whereas,
yeah, it doesn't have like restrictions and like,
well, this
exactly.
happened in the movies. They can't do it in the shows. What? There's no movies for the Titans to go off of. They can do what they want. They're independent.
Exactly.
They make their own story.
Number one. Number two, Titans deals with real world problems from normal people.
As normal as you can get with superheroes.
Right. Okay, so we understand that WandaVision dealt with grief, anger, and depression.
Yeah, it dealt with coping with like certain losses and whatnot.
Right, but it dealt with it on a fantastical level.
Yeah.
We as non-mutants or non-metahumans, we as normal people are able to relate more to Dick Grayson, Gar, Rachel, Donna, and all of them within the Titans universe. Now, that's not to say that if I had the powers of Wanda and my life was killed in front of me, that I wouldn't do the same thing as Wanda. However, I don't have the powers of Wanda. That's
right.
Not feasible. Now, when we look at Jason Todd, we look at Hank, we look at Dick Grayson, we look at Bruce Wayne. These are all normal-esque type people. They're very highly trained, very acrobatic. Right. They're literally, you know, trained super soldiers without the serum.
Yeah.
But they have real world grief, real world depression, real world anger.
This is going to come out real wrong because I didn't know that's the way you were going with it, but they have real weaknesses. And it's not to say that, depression and anger and stuff, that's not a weakness. They have physical weakness and they have their mental weaknesses. They have their mental problems that they deal with just like everybody else in the world.
Yeah.
But they flip it and turn it into something more than just, I can solve this with my superpowers, zap. Well,
right.
You see what happened when they try to solve that with their superpowers and go zap? They poisoned half of Gotham, you know.
Yeah.
And they had to deal with that on a real level It's not just I have to get more powerful physically with my powers. No, they have to be more powerful in every way possible that they can. And it teaches us that we have to do the same. Like, we can't just, you know, whisk something away like Wanda can or like Loki can. No. We got to fight those battles. And we got to win them.
Yeah. And it shows us that even the most altruistic of us has our dark sides. When Batman, spoilers, when Batman.
He's the most ever. Who cares?
I know. When Batman killed Joker, that was him going over the edge. That's showing us that even Batman, who does everything in his power, literally everything in his power, to not break his one rule, actually broke his one rule, and it broke him. It shows us that even the strongest among, you know, among us, or amongst us, we have our failing points. We have our time when we are at our most vulnerable or at our weakest moments, and we will do something. We could do something that we would never, ever do. You know, and that's what I love about the Titans. It's real world issues with some superhero stuff over here.
Yeah. Well, it's the superhero stuff is more for like fight scenes and stuff. But the problems that they have to, like the battles that they have to win, isn't generally solvable by punching somebody in the face and then dealing with it.
Right.
You actually have to fight the battle and, you know, deal with the repercussions of what you did or haven't done.
It's more down to earth. It's grittier. It's
casting
it's
is
more
perfect,
realistic.
By the way. The cast for Titans is absolutely spot on perfect. You couldn't have got anybody better for it.
I will say Dick Grayson kind of irritates me at some points just because of his personality.
Yeah,
but
he's
that's
not
just,
really.
That's who Dick Grayson is.
Yeah, he's not really a. I mean, he becomes a team player and he's a team player, but when there's certain issues that he doesn't feel like the team should be intervened because he just doesn't want to hurt more people than he already has. Things he does is stupid, but whenever you actually think about it, it's like, well, do I really want to put such and such in danger? And, you know. You see what happened last time I brought the whole squad with me. One of us got shot and the rest of us are scattered. So I can see where he's coming from with his decisions, but his decisions need to be more calculated. And he's still learning to be that kind of person. This is his first big time being the big guy. Like there's no Batman above him. He is the top.
Yeah, he's learning to be the leader, the head, the, you know, the head of the snake, honestly.
Before, if he messes up, here comes Batman to swoop in and fix it. This time, he is the Batman that has to swoop in and fix it, and he's trying to deal with that. But, yeah, I'm really excited for season four.
Yeah, I want to see season three is not even over with yet, and we're ready for season four.
I want to see more characters introduced too. Like I don't. Obviously, we haven't seen the finale yet, but I wonder where they're going to go next, what they're going to do next, and who they're going to introduce next. Because that should be interesting.
And the thing is we said this a year ago when season two. You and I said this together when season two ended.
Yeah,
we said the same thing, and I think they've done phenomenally with. Season three, and I'm both dreading and looking forward to the season finale tomorrow. I will probably watch it when I first wake up because I gotta work late tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So
my only complaint would be for HBO to hire new writers. The writers, I don't think are the writers are the problem. What they're writing isn't bad. It's just they need to refine it a little bit better. Like,
it needs to be a little more developed.
Yeah. And these writers just aren't really hitting the nail on the head. They're getting the characters right. They're getting the
people write, they're telling stories right. They just aren't telling them how they're supposed to be told with these characters. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it does to me.
Characters are good. Story is good. But the story and the characters don't go together.
It's the dialogue that's a little off at times.
Yeah. But if they just switch that up and refine that a little bit, it'll reign supreme for me. But yeah, rest of DC fandom.
Yeah. So keeping in line with the whole Gotham thing, I want to talk about the new trailer for The Batman with Robert Pattinson.
So last night I sent the producer a thing. It was a really cool montage of new clips and stuff, and it was really awesome. I said, I can't wait for this. All day I've been thinking, and I rewatched the trailer recently. I so hope this is not just going to be a Christian Bale remake, because it's kind of looking like it's just going to be a cinematic masterpiece and not a Batman story. Because I feel like that's what producers tend to do. I think that's exactly what... We're going to get crucified so many times in this episode. I think that's exactly what Christopher Nolan did. He took the Batman character and tried to make it a cinematic masterpiece. Yeah, it's a great movie and all, but for Batman, he's not, you know... There's just certain things about Batman that you can't translate to making it a good cinematic thing. Like, the big thing for Batman, yeah, he's got a great mind. He's got great detective skills. They got those two on lock. That's the only thing that they focus on, though. Us all Chris... There's too many Chris's. Christopher Nolan, that's all he focused on with Christian Bale. He's a great detective. He's smart. Technology. This, and that. Yeah, but he fights like a damn boxer. He would get his ass kicked in real life.
Yeah.
Christian Bale's Batman. There's no way he's fighting a Superman. There's no way he's fighting this. I understand in real world, whatever. He trained with damn assassins, though, in the first movie, and he's back in Gotham fighting like a damn boxer and with some kicks. But then Ben Affleck comes along. He's got the detective mind. He's got the technology. He's got the fighting skills. He's got the whole package, and he's great. Now that we got Robert Pattinson, his fight moves are very martial art. But I'm not feeling the ninja vibe from him. I'm feeling the UFC fighter. He's going to be a UFC fighter, not a lethal assassin type of fight. Am I making sense? Or am I just being picky?
No. Because I kind of go along the same line. So here's the problem that I'm having. Ever since the introduction of the Tim Burton Batman, every iteration of Batman that we've gotten, other than one, has been a complete and total rehash of the Batman story. We've gotten, you know, why he became Batman, how he became Batman, and this, that, and the other. Tim Burton's was phenomenal, and it still is to this day because, I mean, for me, it's the original.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's not the best, but it's great.
It's not the best, but it's great. You know, and we have that storytelling element. And then we come to Christopher Nolan's Batman with Christian Bale, and we get the same thing. We get the same whole rehash of, you know, his parents dying, and we see that. And he goes and he trains, and we get a little more in depth with his training, you know, being in a prison, being with the assassins and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and then we see Batman become Batman. With Robert Pattinson, that's what I'm afraid of, because same thing with Spider-Man, you know. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man or Avi Arad. His Spider-Man. Not Avi Arad. Who was it? Crap, I can't remember. Because he was one of the executive producers. The same guy that did that directed Evil Dead, the first one.
Sam Raimi?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The Sammy Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. While I'm not a big fan of Tobey Maguire as an actor, period, the storyline behind Spider-Man was pretty good. You know, we actually finally got a decent Spider-Man movie on the big screen. It, they gave us the backstory of Spider-Man and this and that and the other. And then comes along The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. And we get the same thing. You know, we get the whole rehash of how Spider-Man became Spider-Man. Even in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the animated, we still got that whole spider-biting, you know.
We keep getting the same stuff for things that we already know. Even normal moviegoers, the people that aren't big geeks and nerds like we are, you could go up to a random person at a movie theater and be like, hey, you know the backstory of Spider-Man? Well, yeah, his uncle dies and he becomes Spider-Man. All right, cool. Do you need that explained to you 400 times? Well, no, I got it the first time. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I like about Tom Holland is that they didn't really shove that down our throats for a third time. And I think that's what they're doing with Robert Pattinson's because
I don't want another...
We already got the Wayne's death in the Joker movie, and I don't think the Batman and the Joker movie are in the same universe. Matt Reeves, the director, said it's a separate, it's its own standalone thing, like the Joker was. So I think they're two separate standalone films. But we've got the whole Thomas Wayne, Martha Wayne, okay, they're dead. Those two have died thousands of times in movies alone. That's not even funny. We all know Batman, oh, his parents died, and he falls in a cave, and he becomes Batman. Boom, there you go. This, A, I don't think they're going to go with the Martha Wayne and Thomas Wayne thing. I think they're going to immediately jump into him being Bruce Wayne, Batman. Like, he'll mention, oh, yeah, my parents' death, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think we'll get a flashback to them being shot again. So also, his cave is different. So I don't know where the inspiration of him being Batman is going to come from, but his Batcave is in an abandoned train tunnel, an abandoned Wayne train tunnel. So I don't know where his inspiration of Batman is going to come from, but he's been Batman for a while. We know that he's been Batman for a little bit in this, and we know the cops don't like him. Gordon does. He's very smart, great detective. We're missing something, though, and you can already see it in the trailers. His fighting and stuff, it looks great. His grapple moves, his dodges, it all looks great, but I'm getting a big Christopher Nolan feeling from this movie.
Here's the biggest issue that I have. I'm burnt out on Batman solo movies.
Yeah, they can't make another one after this. They can if they continue with Robert Pattinson, whatever. They can't have a new Batman.
No, the way that they introduced Ben Affleck as Batman, it was a shitty way to do it. First off, because it was in a shitty movie, and it was just, oh hey, here's Batman for a clip of him on the hood of a Lamborghini because the Joker's there.
That was his introduction.
In Suicide Squad.
No, Suicide Squad came out after Batman vs. Superman. His introduction was in Batman vs. Superman.
I thought it was the other way around.
No, Suicide Squad came out after. It was Batman vs. Because it was Man of Steel, BVS, Suicide Squad, and then Wonder Woman, Justice League. But yeah. We got, in Batman vs. Superman, we definitely got the Martha Wayne died. That was a big thing in that movie. But Ben Affleck didn't get the chance. Nobody gave him a chance. He had two movies. And nobody...
Okay, I'm going to correct you. Suicide Squad came out in 2016. Batman versus Superman came out in 2000... no, hold on. Yeah, it came out in 2016. But I think Suicide Squad came out... I mean, they came out same year, but I think that Justice League came out Hold on. Because I could have sworn
Suicide Squad, the first one with Jared Leto, came out August 5th. BVS came out March 25th of that year. So BVS was first.
Okay. Okay. But either way. So our introduction for Ben Affleck's Batman was him just, you know, showing up at, you know, Wayne Towers in Metropolis. And then it went from there. There was absolutely no mention in any of the movies that Ben Affleck has played Batman in about his parents' death. None. At all.
It might have been in the DVD, but the opening scene of Batman vs. Superman was the Waynes getting killed. Because what's his name? Deegan, I think that's his name. From Walking Dead, the guy with Lucille, the barbed wire bat. That's Thomas Wayne. And
yeah.
I think that was the opening scene of Batman vs. Superman, of them getting shot and killed. Because the whole big thing throughout that movie was Batman and his parents' death. And they even showed the funeral in that movie.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. But it was still just the fact that I couldn't remember it means that it's literally just a blip on the radar.
How many times have you seen the movie, though?
I've seen the movie a couple times. I've seen the movie a few times.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I've rewatched it over and over again to try and like it more than I do. As a standalone movie, as a integrated movie, it's good. As a standalone movie, it's still got its issues.
Every movie does.
Yeah. But the thing is I am just really, really sick, just burnt out, sick and tired, just burnt out of Batman standalone movies.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure other people would agree. I would rather have 14 million Batman movies than 14 million movies of characters I don't know, don't care about, and they have minimal roles in comic books and minimal roles, period. Like,
right.
I get it. I didn't see Suicide Squad all the way through. Peacemaker might be the best damn character in that movie. I could give a shit about him. I don't know why they picked him. Bloodsport, I don't know why they chose him. Idris Elba would have made a perfect Bronze Tiger, who's an actual, you know, Suicide Squad member, not some guy who was mentioned in a Superman comic one time. Like, I don't know why. If DC doesn't go one way, extreme one way, they go extreme the other way. Like, if they don't do 4 Batman movies in the span of 5 years, then they do a whole slew of other characters no one gives a shit about. Like, nobody cares about Peacemaker. Oh, it's John Cena. He was great in that movie. He shouldn't have even been in the movie. That could have been the perfect spot for another character. Like, Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, the animated movie, had the perfect cast of the Suicide Squad people. Bronze Tiger, Deadshot, Captain Boomerang, I can't remember the other guy's name, and Harley Quinn and Killer Frost. Those are characters people know, love, and appreciate. Who the hell cares about Bloodsport and Peacemaker? Nobody.
Yeah. That was one
King
of the
Shark was in there, and King Shark is an established character, and people love and know King Shark. Polka Dot Man is a joke, but people know him.
Yeah.
Why did they choose those two? When I first saw the Suicide Squad trailer back last year for the DC fandom, I saw Idris Elba, and I was like, holy shit, they actually brought Bronze Tiger in. No, they didn't. A guy who shot Superman in the comics and is now a badass all of a sudden. It's like, what? No. Come on. Like, that was just stupid. They should have brought Will Smith back as Deadshot, because I feel like they could have done something really special with him and Idris Elba. But no, they replaced him with John Cena.
Yeah.
Who cares about John Cena, honestly?
So we're running a little low on time, and there's two more trailers that I absolutely want to talk about.
Okay.
The first one is The Flash.
Yes.
That was an absolute amazing trailer. Hold on. God damn you.
Eat your ass.
Sorry.
Fine.
Hashtag first world pet problems.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a cat that doesn't know how to use the fucking litter box. Anyway. So The Flash. It's literally just 45 seconds of clips from the movie, because the movie's still in production.
Yeah, I believe they wrapped on filming and they're in post-production now, editing and stuff.
Okay. So, I'm actually, and again, I'm going to, you know, get some flack for this. I'm actually looking forward to DC movies now. I really am.
I've predicted this. I have projected it into the universe. I said this last year, probably not on the show, but I said it last year when DC Fandom came out. I was like, man, DC's really hitting their stride. They're doing great. I've said it all throughout the year this year. How many times have we talked about DC on the show now? And every time I've said DC's making a comeback, and every time it's, oh, no, Marvel's going to take the spotlight. Marvel takes the spotlight, whatever. But DC, they're making their comeback. They're coming back, and they're coming back strong. And when I say they're coming back strong, I mean real strong. They got the characters we love, we know, and that haven't been on the big screen yet. Flash, Black Adam, what's his name? Supergirl. She hasn't been on the big screen now. Now she is. Titans, not big screen, but they're hitting their stride with characters in that show. They're just hitting their stride with characters now.
Yeah, we're going to see...
Besides Peacemaker.
Fuck Peacemaker. Okay,
I'm so bad out of shape about that.
We already know that Michael Keaton's reprising his role as Batman in the Flash movie. That's already been confirmed. I can't.
But now
there's
Flash. two flashes in this movie. There's three.
Yeah, rewatch the trailer. When he says, "Are you going to help us?" There's three of them.
When he was talking to Michael Keaton's Batman.
Yeah, there's three flashes standing right there. I swear there is.
No, that's Supergirl, because there's two Ezra Millers and then there's Supergirl. She has big ass S on the chest.
I'm gonna have to rewatch it then. I'm gonna have to rewatch it because I swear that was three flashes.
No, that's the girl that was cast as Supergirl. Big S on the chest. You know,
okay, she looks a lot
blue.
Like Ezra Miller then.
A similar haircut, yeah. But the two flashes, I think the one is a villain, the one that's not in the Flash costume. I think that is going to be a villain. If not, then there's going to be some other villain. Michael Keaton might even be a villain, who knows. But I'm kind of frightened for Michael Keaton's role in that movie. I think he's going to die in that movie. I think they'll kill Batman in that movie. So we got a shot of his cowl being bloody, and the producer or the director of the movie has been posting emblems like of the costumes, and there's blood on the Michael Keaton costume. So I think he's either going to get his ass kicked pretty bad or he's going to die.
I don't know.
There's no Ben Affleck in the trailer, though.
Right.
Although he's... Okay.
And I want to talk about the biggest elephant in the room. I want to talk about Black Adam. So that first look, the entire thing, not just the little snippet of the movie that we got, although that was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. I seen a meme about that. It was you remember back in the Tobey Maguire movie? Peter Parker was like, "I don't want to fight you." And then Flash Thompson was like, "I wouldn't want to fight me either." I saw Shazam talking to Black Adam. It was like, "Well, I don't want to fight you." And it showed the clip of him electrocuting the guy. He was like, "I don't want to fight me either."
Yeah.
Really funny.
Yeah. Black Adam and Shazam are going to interconnect because I also saw a little bit of like a first look of Shazam 2. And that looks kind of phenomenal. I don't know the backstory about of Black Adam, so and I don't want to get too in depth into it, but I think that Black Adam and Shazam are connected.
They are.
Okay.
Well, that's their whole, like, thing, I guess, is Shazam, and then his enemy is Black Adam. Black Adam just comes from a different, I don't know if it's on, I think it's a different planet, but he's the king on a planet, and all he wants is power and stuff, and Shazam stands in that power. He wants Shazam's power, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then we've got confirmed Hawkman. Which
I think Hawkman will be the hero, I think, in this movie. It's obviously a Black Adam. I don't know how to word it, but it's a Black Adam movie. Black Adam's the main character, but I think his opposite is going to be Hawkman, and I think they might introduce, or not introduce, but include. I don't think Shazam is going to be in the movie, but I think he'll be like an end credit scene or an ending type of thing. But I think Hawkman and Black Adam are going to, you know, bump heads. And I think Hawkman is now going to be introduced into the DCEU, who is also a core Justice League member.
Yep.
I'm smelling another Justice League movie. I don't know about you, but this smell is pretty strong.
And then we have Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate.
I cannot wait for that.
And so I see him, and he's talking about, you know, this is like one of the most exciting roles that he's played, and you see what he's wearing, and I'm like, that's not his clothes. That's Dr. Fate's clothes.
Yeah, he's in character.
Yeah. And he looks like Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
And I am just – because I know Dr. Fate from the animated series, and – specifically more Young Justice than anything else, because he was featured a lot on Young Justice.
Yeah, he was a bigger part on Young Justice.
Yeah. And then, he played a role in the Justice League cartoons a little bit.
He was in Justice League Dark. Not Apocalypse War, but he was in Justice League Dark, I believe.
And he was... He was in another one that had to do with magic. I don't
Suicide
remember the
Squad
name.
To pay. It wasn't really Dr. Fate. It was the guy that Fate, or that, what's his name? I don't know. They gave him a different name, but it's the Egyptian god. He chose him, and then he was like, well, I can't do this because, you know, I'm immature and stupid. But, yeah. I can't wait to see Dr. Fate on the big screen because he has recently become more one of my more favorite characters because
he's
just badass. He's basically Doctor Strange, but I think he's cooler than Doctor Strange, in my opinion. They even call him Sorcerer Supreme in Young Justice, and I thought that was either a dig at Marvel or an appreciation for Marvel, but I was like, hell yeah.
Or both.
If I had to choose one of them, I'm choosing Doctor Fate, but
Doctor
I'm also a DC guy.
Definitely,
he looks
I would
cooler.
Say he's definitely more powerful than...
He's got the helmet. He's got the...
Doctor Strange.
Belt. He's got the cape. Oh, I can't wait to see this. This is going to be something else.
Yeah.
And it's going to introduce two new Justice League members. I'm smelling some Justice League Unlimited vibes from this. Because they're going to have Hawkman. They got Martian Manhunter now. If they have the balls to bring back Ben Affleck, which they have, he's going to be in the Flash movie. If they can, you know, establish these characters first, this could be something great.
Yeah. This could be next level for DC, almost up there with the Infinity Saga, with Infinity War and Endgame. They could really, really do a lot with the characters they're introducing within the next year. Because I got a sneak peek look at Aquaman 2.
A lot of people aren't happy with that. But contracts are contracts, and we have to.
Yeah.
We can't do nothing about it. But I'm not gonna boycott the movie. You know, I like Jason Momoa and
Patrick Wilson. I can't remember the guy who plays Black Manta, but I like those three much more than I dislike Amber Heard. So I'm going to watch the movie and I'm basically not going to pull the elementary school teacher where if one student messes up, I got to punish the whole class.
Right.
I'm not doing that. That's just silly. I get people who don't like her. She'll get bit in the ass sometime soon.
She'll get hers, yeah.
But I'm not going to bitch and complain about her being in the movie, you know.
No, no.
It sucks. I can't do nothing about it. I'm not a lawyer. So I'm just going to do what I can do and watch the movie.
Yeah, I'm going to support Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Because he's awesome.
And
Aquaman.
And James Wan. I like James Wan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to
support,
I'm gonna support
the other actors.
Yeah, and director and, you know, the people that are
I don't think they should be punished for... you know, corporate decisions.
Right. Right. The people that are actually putting their heart and soul into the movie. And that's one of the things with Black Adam. Black Adam is it's a project that Dwayne Johnson has been trying to push for years, and now it's finally coming to fruition.
Shazam came out 2018, didn't it? 2018, 2019?
I think so. Let me look. Give me 1 second, and I can tell you when Shazam came out.
2019.
Yeah, 2019.
So when Shazam released, they announced it. Shazam released that year, and then DC Fandom, or not DC Fandom, because they didn't do one 2019. But they announced Black Adam that same year. I think it was like when Shazam released, The Rock posted on his Instagram. It was like, yeah, Black Adam's coming and he's raining hell. Like, he's coming.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, Shazam's dying, first of all. But besides the point, we're getting a Black Adam movie. The Rock has been working on this movie since before then. It's been in pre-production, and now that they're filming and wrapping up filming, The Rock has... Say what you want about The Rock, how he's in every movie and he's whatever. He's going to crush this role.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put everything he had into this role and...
Into the movie itself.
Yeah. It was perfect cast. They didn't even have to put him in a muscle suit.
No.
Did you see the costumes? That leaked photo of the costumes? It was Black Adam's costume and then Hawkman's helmet.
I have not. I'm gonna have to look those up.
But the costume looks fantastic. I mean, it's not really a spoiler because we saw the costume in the trailer, but it looks fantastic. That's one of the better DC costumes, and they do really good over there with costumes at DC. To dig at Marvel, but Marvel does a lot of CGI with their costumes for good reason.
They do.
They kind of have to, but. DC, they do their costumes, like, their costumes are real. Like, I know they've made Iron Man suits and whatnot for display, but the suit that Ben Affleck is wearing in the movie, that's the suit, I mean, you saw Black Adam's suit isn't CGI, that's the actual suit that he was wearing. Like, these are all real suits, and it's baffling.
Yeah, and they CGI the lightning on top of it.
Yeah, and the only thing that they CGI is, like, the capes, because they can't really control those very well. It's like capes and like movement and stuff, but costumes that they're wearing are real physical costumes.
Yeah. That's the same thing in Titans as well.
Yeah. Except Titans, they can't really CGI too many things. So some of those are practical, but the special effects. Yeah. But, DC can get, they have some very nice costume,
designers.
Designers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
their costume department is fantastic.
Yeah, and, like, when you see it on comic books, it's like, oh, he's wearing spandex and a belt. Whenever you translate it to real life, that's a textured, like, that's textured fabric and material and silicone, whatever you want to call it. It just baffles me that they can do that. I think Marvel could learn from that. But then again, Marvel does different things with their stuff. It still works out the same either way. I just have appreciation for practical effects.
I prefer.
We got to talk about the Flash costume because I hear a lot of people bitching about that. The cowl. Did you see the frame where he had the cowl?
I think so. Yeah.
People really do not like the new Flash. like helmet cowl thing. They think it looks really blocky and thick and weird. I don't hate it. I'd venture to say I like it. Like, they should have done something different with it. More of the CW-esque suit, because that suit's really good. I like to see it. The CW Flash suit, because it looks pretty good. But, yeah, this Flash suit is something else.
Yeah. And we got to see a shot of the ring.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
The part where the other Flash, not the one we know, but the other one, the long-haired one, took Michael Keaton's old bat suit and spray-painted over it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit strange, but I was like, okay, I see what you're going. Hey, where are you going with this?
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange, because Flash needs a heat-resistant suit, and I don't know if 89 Batman suit is... friction.
Well,
so
I mean, you gotta think it's probably, you know, the technology has probably gotten better.
Could have, and we don't even know if that's a Flash. He could just be trying to, like, you know, something, I can't think of the word, mimic the Flash's suit because he wants to help.
Possibly.
But I guess we'll have to wait until late 2022 to figure that out, because that's when it's released. Along with the Batman movie.
Yeah. All right. So we're down to our last couple minutes. This has been a fantastic episode back. I really miss being on the air. And this has been a fantastic show. So, yeah, I'm glad to be back on the air, definitely. All right. Like I said, we are down to our last couple minutes. I want to thank Alex, of course, for, you know, being with me tonight. I want to thank our producer and stage manager, Austin, for all of his, you know, behind-the-screen support. And I want to thank all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We would do this regardless, but we would probably be bored. Anyway, thank you all to all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. Thank you to all the new likes that we've gotten over the past couple of weeks, because we've gotten a couple new likes to the page, and we appreciate that. You know, more news to come on the platform change that should be happening relatively soon. We're still working out some kinks and some bugs. Stay tuned to the pages for that information. Other than that, I want to say support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. As always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast, every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Note by Note. I believe Note by Note is having a show this Friday. I believe we're having a Movie of the Week on Sunday. And I believe that Miss Angel will be on the air after a three-week hiatus next week for Falling from Grace podcast. So stay tuned to the pages for that information. Stay tuned to the Wiki Curiosity Media page for updates. And as far as BTS goes, we will see you Sunday. As far as Wiki Curiosity Media goes, we'll see you Friday. I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday night. Have a fantastic rest of your week. Enjoy life. Love yourself. And let's go, Brandon.
Yeah. I don't got anything.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
And we'll see you later. I can find the music. There we go. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost. And I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, guess what?
If you love